Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Scott Eckersley, our producer, give us a call, 393-3700, 393-3700. Tom, I want to spend some time, at least one segment today, maybe more, talking about what is happening with the NCAA and this crackdown and everything that's happened with agents. We're going to have Mike Griffith on with us a little bit later, and he'll tell us about what's happening in the SEC, where all of this seems to be coming to a head. But could you have ever imagined USC getting the kind of punishment it got, and now all these other schools, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, they're all under the gun, and they're all facing the same kind of scrutiny?
Well, yeah, and that's why I think at the SEC, the press conference, the media day that they had, the reason you had such outspoken reactions from these coaches because of what's on the line. I mean, when the agent thing has been going on for many years,
right?
But all of a sudden it gets real personal when it's on the threshold of affecting your program. Situation of Florida, for example. I mean, Alabama, and then obviously North Carolina. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. North Carolina football might even be vulnerable to that situation. Then you're going to get people, something's going to hit the fan, if you know what I mean. And I really think that as far as agents go, I mean, it's virtually impossible to keep them, under clamps. How do you do that? You got to educate. You got to educate the players. You got to educate their parents. The enforcers around those particular athletes, and say, listen, you're going to take the program down. You got to pound that nail a little bit harder than you've done in the past.
It's the same thing as performance enhancing drugs, Tom. Where there is money to be made, and a way to make it, some people are going to do it.
Right.
And rules be damned.
Right.
Now, I never thought we would see USC get a punishment like this. And you can say that the NCAA has been unable or unwilling to go after the big guys over the years. Not anymore, at least not in this case. And it's almost like the Kentucky case with the Emory Air Freight envelope breaking open on the conveyor belt. Yahoo did such a great job of reporting this story, Charles Robinson, the point man on this. And just a note of disclosure here. I do not work for Yahoo. Okay, I have never written for Yahoo. I have some very good friends who do work at Yahoo, including a managing editor for sports or colleges, and that is Jerry Ahern. But I think they have done as good a job of reporting as any news organization could, and I don't think they're carrying the NCAA's water, despite what Jason Whitlock says. Now, you know Jason.
Right. He used to be at the Ann Arbor News.
And he is very controversial. And he wrote a piece this week criticizing the media for doing the NCAA's business. But what it really comes down to, I think he is talking about the plantation mentality of the NCAA, and that comes into a totally different, separate argument. Now, should players be allowed to get something for their participation more than they do, more than a scholarship? You can certainly make that case. You can say that there should be a stipend. You can say that there should be a way to get their parents to bowl games where they have to travel a long distance, that they should be able to get some compensation for hotel rooms for a Final Four NCAA tournament. You can make that argument. But to say that players deserve free market compensation and whatever a school wants to bid for a player, there will not be college football.
Well, absolutely. Even the stipend thing, and I hate to agree with you. I mean, I've been a big stipend proponent of to some degree.
Right.
Now, because of the NCAA, you're not allowed as a student athlete to work during your season. Is that still correct? You can't make money during your, I mean, you can work in the off season, correct?
Yeah. Well, no, they have made some changes with that, but that's not the kind of money Jason's talking about. Jason's talking about,
he wants salaries.
Yeah. These are the guys who are doing it, and the coaches are making the millions.
Right.
And I understand another thing here. I think that it is wrong that player movement is restricted on coaches can pick up and go coach anywhere. They can go anywhere. Now, doesn't matter. They have a six-year contract. Doesn't matter.
I don't agree with Jason Whitlock's because that's not realistic. I mean, the Eastern Michigans of the world, I mean, bye-bye. I mean, there would probably be about 10, 12 teams that could afford to stay in competition when you think about it. But I think the stipend thing is a good thing to go to, you know, so that maybe this wouldn't happen so much. If to buy a hamburger down at the – you know, the brown jug, like Chris Weber couldn't afford.
Well, Chris Weber, as it turns out, could have afforded to buy the brown jug, not the hamburger. He could have bought the whole restaurant.
Bad example. Okay. Right. But, you know the story, right. You know, that came down. So I there should be that refinement. Even that, the stipend was going to put a lot of the colleges out of business. I don't know how some of these schools are making enough money to stay in the business.
Well, a lot of them aren't. A lot of them are losing money.
I think college football needs to be right-sized anyway. There's too many. There's in the D1 level, there's not 119 programs that should be there. They can't.
There should be a super conference or something?
I'm a
where
big
there's
super
an elite
conference
of the elite.
Thing. I'm a super conference guy. Maybe this alignment of all these leagues, those could be the six teams, the six leagues and everything, and you have 10, 12 of them in a league, and that's and then some type of a compensation for athletes. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe a stipend on steroids.
I mean, Jason Whitlock isn't talking about a stipend. He's talking about athletes earning what their skills will bring.
Well, that's
he
ridiculous.
Says journalists are not trained to be attack dogs for morally bankrupt institutions. Charles Robinson and the folks at Yahoo are not trying to be attack dogs for anyone. They're trying to do their job.
Right.
They're trying to do a job, and they're doing it damn well. They're doing it doing a job that a lot of people in the media wish they had done. Trust me. Just about everyone I know wishes they had that USC story.
Right.
Well, it turns out only one guy had it, and USC wishes he hadn't.
Well, that one had been floating around for so many years, and you're just wondering, oh, they're just going to wait out and get the statute of limitations going to kick in there, then they won't. Reggie can keep his Heisman and all that good stuff.
You know how these things happen, these punishments, these probations, these big scandal stories? It's usually leaked from within. It usually happens.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's some act of such incredible foolishness, like the Emory Air Freight envelope, like the rollover accident. These kinds of things are what trigger it.
Yeah.
It isn't because everyone is there and every day pouring through numbers. It takes a tip. It takes a break.
And then the House of Cards
happen.
The House of Cards
happens. Exactly.
You know,
and it starts to tumble. And you get a pit bull reporter or reporters who won't take no for an answer. And unlike the NCAA that says, well, you know, we don't know what's going on. Maybe we'll wait until we get something printed and then we'll investigate it. And part of it is they don't have subpoena power and they don't have the staff. They don't have the size of the enforcement staff to know how to go about this. But journalists are trained to do that. That's
right.
What we do. Okay.
Right.
And in this case, USC is paying the price and a lot of other schools now are under scrutiny. People are saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. If that happens, how about Maurice Pouncey? How about all the other guys?
Yeah,
what happens to all the other guys? Well, now maybe the NCAA is going to be emboldened by it. But I don't know how Jason Whitlock gets off criticizing another news organization when I didn't see him or the Kansas City Star doing
right,
this.
Exactly. I know. Why wasn't he all over it? Well, how would you reform college sports right now? Okay, you're in charge, Jack. You're head of the committee, the ad hoc committee to fix this situation, to prevent this situation from happening again.
Well, I don't think all athletes
can you create
have to be,
an even playing
yeah.
field?
Yeah. First of all, I think you have to understand that the NCAA cowers in the courtroom, and they are afraid that you can't treat football players differently from volleyball players, different from wrestlers, track athletes. Well, wrestlers, they don't care about them. They just throw them under the bus.
So you're talking about the Title IX stuff and all
that? Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that you can treat athletes to some degree differently because of the nature of their sports. And I don't think if the NCAA wants to take X amount of dollars from their next contract and say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to set this amount of money aside for athletes and championships who reach this level, that we're going to do so now. Would that satisfy Jason Whitlock? No, that wouldn't satisfy him. No. He wants some superstar athlete. He wants Mark Ingram to be able to make $2 million.
Yeah, pro football level kind of compensation.
There are alumni in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and across that state who would find that money and pay them that.
They would.
They would.
Absolutely, particularly in the South and the SEC region.
Yeah, and you know why I don't like that system? It's because of the balance of power. You know, I love upsets.
Yeah,
and I love
you're
the
like
have-nots.
Mr. Parody, Jack right. Ebeling.
And I think if you had a system like that, you wouldn't have the number of schools you have now. You would have a handful. You would have 20 schools, and you would have such incredible corruption. That's like saying, okay, it's tough to enforce a speed limit, so we're going to take all the speed limits off. We're just going to let you drive as fast as you want.
Can't do that.
And I-96 becomes the Autobahn.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't work that way.
Right.
It works that way if you want to be at the morgue and you want more business. Okay?
Right, right.
Well, that would be the morgue for college football and college athletics. So I don't think you can say, just let them go. Just let them go. No drug testing. Who cares what they make? Who cares who's giving them what? Doesn't matter. It's a free country.
Right.
You don't want to do that? Don't do it. Don't play. Don't play the game. You understand the rules. Reggie Bush understands the rules. We had Reggie Bush on the show. We had Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and all those guys came on the show. I thought Reggie Bush was great. I'm a fan of Reggie Bush. I liked it better when he was with Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I know. I like that little romance. That was fun to watch.
But I think, you know, when you look at what he did, you can't defend it. He knew the rules.
Right.
Chris Carter, okay? Great story. Chris Carter and Chris Spielman were on the radio yesterday together. The first time they have talked about this, and they had held it inside for 23 years.
This is down in Columbus on Chris's, right. On Spielman's show,
mm-hmm.
right?
No, this was actually on ESPN. It was,
okay.
was Eric Casilius was
okay.
sitting in for Mike and Mike.
Gotcha. Okay.
And those guys were on together, and they had always kind of held this in about what happened when Carter was taken out of football for senior year, couldn't play for Ohio
State.
They
were teammates in the late 80s at Ohio State.
They came in together. They had a big Cotton Bowl win their junior year. They were thinking about playing for the national championship. Instead, Ohio State went right in the toilet, cost Earl Bruce's job.
Right.
And Spielman
87.
And Carter talked about this.
Yep.
And Carter said it was the one thing in his life he would change. And he admitted that he had made a mistake with this. So this happens all the time. But when a guy makes a conscious decision, Chris Carter knew what he was doing.
Right. Absolutely.
And Reggie Bush knew what he was doing.
Stupid.
You know that Reggie Bush is so dumb, he doesn't know the rules and doesn't know this is wrong. Hello.
So it's beyond education. I mean, I guess you got to pound and pound and pound because they're all.
You're not going to get them all.
They
you're
all have
find
the meetings.
Some guys who
they all meet with the compliance people when you're a freshman year.
Absolutely.
You know, coming at 2-a-days.
Absolutely. All right, we will be right back. We'll continue this discussion and take your calls. What do you think should happen? How should the NCAA treat this? And is this the start of an epidemic? The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.